Welcome to Nelson and your audio guide to Tracing the Tideway Walk. We will refer to site numbers on the Tracing the Tideway Walk map and note useful landmarks along the way. Download your map from www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz. This walk is one of a series of heritage walks developed by the Nelson City Council. Shoreline plaques marking the 1840s shoreline can be found in sites around the city. When reading a plaque, you are facing the direction where the water would have met the shoreline of the Paruparu estuary. It was flooded by the high tide and fed by streams from the Toitoi Valley, Washington Valley, and the Maitai River floodplain. European settlers called it the Tideway, and the area was bridged and gradually reclaimed as they developed the central business area and made an easier link to the Port of Nelson and the Auckland Point markets at the base of Matangi Awhio.
Our walk starts at the Information Centre in Miller's Acre. Cross the road to Civic House with its distinctive clock tower and continue along Halifax Street to the traffic lights at Rutherford Street. Plaque 1 is near the corner. The walk is generally flat on city footpaths and across parks. Comfortable walking shoes are recommended. Please use pedestrian crossings where indicated and cross roads with care.
At plaque 1, look towards the hills above the port. Halifax Street runs roughly where the causeway was built by the early settlers. This was a raised area for a road, and Saltwater Bridge sat at the far end over the deep channel of water known as Saltwater Creek. 50 men were employed for a year in this high-priority task of linking the township to the port, and the bridge was completed in 1842. Arthur Wakefield noted in his diary at the time that work may have slowed down due to the presence of a grog shop in the area. A traffic roundabout now sits where the bridge once was. The area to the left of this section of Halifax Street, now known as Anzac Park, used to be known as Milton's Acre after its original owner. He had been a steam captain who ferried troops north for the campaign against the rebel chief Honoheke. Initially boats could tie up in this area, and in spring tides quite large vessels anchored where lawn and flower beds now flourish. In 1897, Captain Milton moved south and sold his land to the city council, and reclamation started by degrees. Land bought from the Railways Department was added, and Anzac Park was created after the 1914-18 War, and it was named after the Australian-New Zealand Army Corps. The original wooden saltwater bridge was replaced and eventually had lamps and inscribed columns added as a war memorial for World War II. These columns and lamps, one converted to an eternal flame, were relocated in 1959 to the centre of Anzac Park when the traffic roundabout went in at the Halifax Haven Streets intersection. Big piles support a concrete pad under the memorial, as they needed to go a long way down through estuarine material to get a solid footing. Reclamation brought problems with drainage for the township, particularly at high tide. A large number of council meetings from 1878 onwards grappled with this, as it had such an impact on the health of the residents. Today, a special tide gate is used whenever there is a big tide, usually monthly. Otherwise, low-lying streets in the area reclaimed would still get wet. Underneath Anzac Park is a big catchment area, a collecting point for the original creeks that flowed here and for stormwater runoff. This is directed out into Stormwater Creek, which winds its way to the sea alongside Rutherford Park, which, along with the marina and modern port, is also reclaimed land. Images of the reclamation can be found on the interpretation panels at Anzac Park.
Cross the roads at the lights and wander through Anzac Park with its attractive canary palms. Besides the Central War Memorial, smaller memorial plaques can be found in various garden areas. At the far end of Anzac Park, use the bricked pedestrian crossing across Haven Road to the Globe Hotel. The hotel is approximately on the site where Arthur Wakefield planned a fish market to serve the township. To your right, across the road, stands the hill Matangi Awhio. Continue on the left-hand side of St. Vincent Street to a pedestrian island crossing to Pioneers Park. Cross the road and plaque 2 is to your right, and an interpretive panel for the park is to your left.
Matangi Awhio is an important site that has been used for Maori settlement since the 1400s. When Europeans first arrived in Nelson, they had trading and social contact with various groups of Maori living throughout the district. Early settlers would have starved if not for being able to purchase fruit, vegetables, fish, pork and other produce from Maori, which were displayed on a low stone wall closer to the port, around where Auckland Point School now is. A map on the Pioneers Park panel helps give an overview of the early layout of the city. You can see various sections were planned by the English planners for what was actually estuary when the settlers arrived, no doubt spurring on the desire for reclamation to proceed with all haste. The distinctive fish design depicted on the poles of the interpretive panel remind us of the yellow-eyed mullet and grayling that were once abundant in the rivers and estuaries of Nelson, including the Paraparo estuary. Shellfish, tuna, which are eels, birds, eggs, fern root, flax and berries were some of the abundant resources available around Nelson's Haven and harvested annually. A mural on the Whakatū Dance Academy building depicts an estuarine shoreline. Spot the rat running for cover. Once an important source of protein, rat is not generally on the menu these days. Pioneers Park was once called King's Acre after the brothers that owned it. In 1928, Nelson City Council created relief work for the unemployed, filling the park area with rubble from a major cliff fall on Rocks Road. The opening in 1929 had a naval guard of honour, military band, and the surviving early settlers amongst the guests. See the back of the panel for a glimpse of Washington Valley as it was in the 1930s. See what houses still remain, including several early workingmen cottages built by the enterprising Chinese pioneer Apo Hockton. Across the park, on the toilet block near the children's playground, a colourful mosaic by artist Maria Middlebrook Wells displays some of the flora and fauna of Nelson, including some deliciously plump native wood pigeons.
Across the road, look up the hill to see where the main route was from Wakefield Quay, before access from the port was improved via Haven Road. Cross the road with care to Plaque 3, which marks the southern edge of the estuary. Follow Washington Road to the roundabout junction with St. Vincent Street and Gloucester Street. Plaque 4 is in St. Vincent Street, where the early railway line once ran.
For 79 years, passengers and goods were transported from yards in St. Vincent Street to the eventual end of the line station at Kawatiri Junction. The dream was for the line to continue to Anangahua Junction and meet up with the main trunk line linking Nelson to the rest of the South Island. The line was proposed in the 1860s and permission was given in 1871 to start work on a track. Construction of the first 30.4-kilometre stage from the city to Fox Hill began in 1873 and the line opened in 1876. Sadly, the line was doomed never to be finished and was eventually closed, despite public protests, by 1955. Among the protesters, who were led by former school teacher Ruth Page, was Sonia Davies, who went on to be important in the Federation of Labour and become a Labour MP. Parts of the land where the railway line once ran now form off-road cycleways.
Walk along Gloucester Street and look up to where you can see Piki Mai, also known as Church Hill, with the cathedral on it. In the 1840s, you would have had wet feet at high tide on this journey. Continue through the Vanguard Street roundabout to plaque number 5 in Kerr Street.
The naming of St Vincent Street and nearby Vanguard Street was done by an early street naming committee. The names link with Admiral Lord Nelson, after whom the city is named. Early settlers' names were also used for street names. Kerr Street is named after John Kerr, who had a bullock paddock at the end of the street. John, his wife Janet, and 6 of their 8 sturdy sons came to New Zealand from Scotland in 1842. Captain Wakefield was most anxious to have some land ready for spring sowing and chose Kerr, as an experienced farmer, to be a model for the amateur gentleman farmers. Kerr was given the honour of putting the first plough into Nelson's soil on May the 25th, 1842. He repeated the demonstration on Nelson Anniversary Day the following year at a ploughing competition. The family settled out at Waimea, breaking the land there into productive farmland. Their brick barn doubled as a venue for the earliest church services in the area. Many Kerr family descendants still live locally.
Cross Rutherford Street to the junction with Hardy Street, where you will see the Story of Coffee mural on Pomeroy's Coffee House. Plaque 6 is nearby. Cross at the traffic lights to go towards Theatre Royal in Rutherford Street, where you will find Plaque 7 near an interpretation panel on this recently refurbished heritage building, which once had a beach at the back door.
The Theatre Royal in Nelson is over 130 years old, making it one of the oldest wooden theatres in New Zealand. It was built in 1878 by C.W. Moore, who also built St Mary's Convent and the first wooden buildings of Nelson College. It was on land owned by market gardener Samuel Bolton. The theatre was designed by Mr Bethwaite of Bethwaite and Robertson. The Odd Fellows, who had their club next door, financed the construction. The theatre was built to seat 800, but when it opened on 18th of July 1878, it had an audience of 1,000. In 1884, at the height of its popularity, and with special trains running from Foxhall to Nelson on theatre nights, ownership of the theatre shifted to the Loyal Howard and the Loyal Nelson Odd Fellows Lodges, who held on to it for about 20 years. In the early days, when it had mud floors, the theatre doubled as a boxing venue. Harry Saunders bought the theatre in 1904 and carried out major alterations, replacing seating, covering the mud floor, and installing a projection box for moving pictures. This created Nelson's very first cinema. It was used as a picture house from 1908 to 1936, when the Majestic Theatre was built. The combination of competition and the 1930s global depression brought on a major decline in attendance at the Theatre Royal. In 1944, the theatre was bought by the Nelson Repertory Club, who undertook to repair the theatre, which continued to struggle with drainage problems and low attendance. The 1970 performance of Orpheus in the Underworld saw the orchestra playing in 6 inches of water. When the theatre passed into the hands of the Nelson Historic Theatre Trust in 2005 for $10, the real task of saving the theatre began. Restoration started in 2008 and the theatre reopened in May 2010. More comfortable seating, total rebuilding of the backstage area, restoration of the veranda, a rebuilt fly tower, and new protruding window boxes were some key improvements. The Theatre Royal is now believed to be the oldest surviving operating wooden theatre in Australasia, and possibly in the Southern Hemisphere. The auditorium has an Historic Places Trust B classification. The theatre makes a significant contribution to New Zealand's heritage of timber architecture and will hopefully be available for public use for many more years to come.
Continue along Rutherford Street and cross the road at the Bridge Street lights. Plaque 8 is at 29 Bridge Street, where the oldest commercial building in Nelson's Central Business District can be found, just past the Central Bus Terminal.
The small commercial building housing Will's Jewellers dates back to around 1855, and the frontage is roughly in its original shape. The Historic Places Trust listed building is possibly the oldest commercial building still extant in New Zealand. It is a vivid reminder of an older commercial centre which is now almost completely gone, not only in Nelson but in most other early New Zealand towns. Although the interior has been modified in the past 130 years, the first floor and exterior retain their original character with timber cladding and pitched roof. A fisherman's jetty once sat at the back of the building in Whakatū Square, accessed by the path to the left of the building. The jetty would have been used until reclamation in the 1890s stopped boats having easy access into the Parapara estuary. Until then, spring tides were especially good for larger vessels, while smaller flat-bottomed canoes and barges could proceed even further into the tidal estuary. The land on which the building stands is part of Section 1104, City of Nelson, and was granted to Thomas Askew on the 13th of December 1851. Askew had arrived in Nelson with his parents in 1843, and the Nelson Census of 1849 describes him as living in Bridge Street. The ratings roll for 1864 specifies that Askew had a house and shop built on the section in 1852. It appears that this was rented out to various people and not lived in by Askew himself. In 1883, Askew sold to John Ogilvie, a cooper, who went bankrupt in 1889. Mrs. Mary Rogers bought the land and the building at an auction for $300 in 1889 and was the first of five women spanning four generations of the one family who lived at the Jewel House and Shop for over 96 years. When Rogers died in 1903, her widowed daughter, Mary Ellen Brown, lived in the property until her death in 1930 It then went to her two married daughters, Mary Eleanor Naylor and Frances Lucy Soper. Soper inherited full ownership from Naylor on her death, and when Soper died in 1964, this was transferred to her niece, the artist Marjorie Eleanor Froome Naylor. Marjorie was well known for her portraits and landscapes and operated a gallery from the premises and also lived there until she died in 1985. The building was sold to the present owners, who operate a jewellery business there. In the past, fancy confectionery, sewing machines, lingerie, even petrol were some of the items that have been sold from this quaint little building.
Go back to the bus centre and cut through to the parking area behind it, known as Whakatū Square. Cross the square using the brick pedestrian crossing to the far side to reach Plaque 9. All of this parking area would have once been underwater. We have now completed our walk. To return to the information centre and your starting point, go along Achilles Avenue to Trafalgar Street and turn left. Cross at the traffic lights at the junction of Trafalgar Street and Halifax Street.
We hope you have enjoyed the Tracing the Tideway Walk. For more heritage trails around Nelson, go to the Nelson City Council website, www.nelsoncitycouncil.co.nz, and enter the search phrase Heritage Walks, or contact the Arts and Heritage Advisor at the Council.